Hey everyone, welcome to Can We Be Friends? My name is Walter and I'm an artist, writer, nail technician, and am your host of this podcast. Throughout these episodes, I'll be chatting with some of my favorite artists in the music industry whilst doing their nails at the same time. I'm very excited to finally have a space I can bring all of my favorite things together all in the one place and for you to get to know me and my guests a little better. So let's get into it. Today's special guest has a personality that awakens any room with positivity and laughter, and a voice that might be familiar to some. Having been played on every main radio station in Australia, like B105, Nova, Triple J, and Ash London Live, playing music festivals alongside Ballpark Music, and having writing cuts on tracks from Young Franco and Kilter, this artist has dabbled in it all. And just when you thought she couldn't do any more, she became a radio presenter on one of the biggest radio stations in Australia. When I caught up with this guest last year, she was working for B105 in Townsville and has since moved here to Brisbane to start her newest role at Nova. So please welcome to the podcast and salon my new favourite pop star, Jeans.
Hello.
So you were showing me some demos.
Yes.
And one of the demos I co-wrote with you, which is the first time we met.
Yeah,
it's true. Which was very fun. What's your plan for like the release? That's what I was going to ask, because then that'll kind of determine like what you put out next, I guess.
I think for me, I've always wanted to do an EP, but it's just so expensive as an independent artist to put out an EP. So I feel like nowadays if you're going to do an EP or if you're going to do a single, you have to do a video with it, and there has to be all the visual elements.
Okay, I see. Right. So have you got all the songs recorded?
Yeah, they're all recorded.
They're all done.
Yeah. I mean, they're not mixed and mastered, but they're done.
So it is just videos and cover arts and photos.
Yeah, I feel like artists, you have to do singles. I don't know.
I've done the same.
I feel like that's the way people consume music now, is in singles, because I know that, I mean, I listen to albums in full if I really like the artist, but you have to really like the artist from singles first. That's how I
agreed.
Kind of get into an artist now.
Like, it takes us so long to write a project of music that if we never put any singles out during that process or anything, we would be nowhere to be seen for like 2 years or something.
Mm.
And I just think in this day and age, people are wanting everything like so consistently.
100%.
That I feel like if we just dropped off and didn't do the whole single and then EP thing or album or whatever, I feel that pressure of like, I have to keep dropping stuff, otherwise I'm kind of irrelevant.
Well, yeah, I think as independent artists, not only is it like that where people consume music and they expect you to release things regularly, but the other thing is, as an independent artist, it's expensive. And dropping single, going single to single is just more feasible and affordable. It's hard. Like, that's why I've held off for so long with the EP, because, you know, I'm not made of money. I don't have a record label. I'm not published. Everything is self-funded. And I don't think people outside of music don't understand that we fund literally everything as an independent artist.
Yeah.
Everything, from cover art to photos to mix to master to videos, paying for flights to do shows. Shit is expensive. So expensive.
Yeah.
It's tough out here, y'all.
It's tough out here, everybody. Don't do music. No, I'm joking.
I don't think I could do anything else.
I couldn't do anything else.
I couldn't imagine myself not doing music. And as much as, like, we just ranted about how independent artists have it tough, and
we wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, I you know what? I would do it. I would honestly do it for free.
Yeah, yeah. That's the funny thing.
Like, I would do it even if it made me no money, which it doesn't.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
I know what you mean. I'm going to cut your nail length. So,
okay.
Like, how short are we thinking?
Probably that short.
You're in Brisbane at the moment because you are on B105. I feel like most artists in Australia are obviously leaning towards the more Triple J. Mm. And, like, to try and crack, like, the mainstream radio is, like, you know, everyone would want it, but it's quite a hard one to crack as, like, an independent artist in Australia, you know? Like, how do you go about doing that, and how have you kind of had your little wins on there?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. Firstly, I don't make music for any radio station. I just make music that's true to me, and it happens to be pop music. And, you know, I'd never expect my music to get added to any radio station. I just, yeah, make music that I like and hope for the best. But I think, like, the Jeans music obviously is easily accessible, and I think that's one of the main reasons why radio has taken it on, because, you know, it's not super left of field. It's easy to listen to. It's fun. People want to be in a good mood, and Jeans is a good mood, I think.
Do you submit it to them, or do they just pick it up from somewhere?
I mean,
do you email them?
Like, yeah, I don't email personally, but, you know, my manager Nick is very much in that radio world, and
he has his ways.
Well,
he got it down pat. He knows the world.
Yeah,
he knows that world.
He knows radio. He's been working in radio for what, 10 to 12 years now, so he knows everybody in the Australian radio industry. So that has definitely helped a lot, but also the fact that I work in radio has probably helped. Not saying that, you know, if my songs were shit, they wouldn't get added to radio. So I've earned it
totally
on my own.
100%.
But, you know, music and any kind of work, it's who you know.
Totally. It's the combo of who you know, you have to have good shit, and, like, a little bit of luck. Because people always say, like, even with Billie Eilish, it's like, oh, you know, her parents were whatever in the industry or something. And I'm like, yeah, but also I know loads of people way above me in the industry, and I haven't gotten shit from them. Like, in terms of I know people that know Justin Bieber. They're not sending me they're not sending him my songs. Mm. That's not how it works. Like, but if I was doing something that was worth them sharing, then that connection comes in.
100%.
I'm like, cool. But you kind of have to have both. Otherwise that doesn't work. So Nick, your manager, knowing the radio world and having a lot of contacts, that definitely helps. But then if your music wasn't...
If my music's not radio friendly...
They're not going to play it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I've earned my stripes and I know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there who think, oh, Maddie is a radio announcer and she also makes music and that's why radio's playing her songs. No. It would be so just as easy for them to add it as it is... For them to say no.
100%.
And, you know, like my first single as Jeans was added to the Hit Network, but my other ones weren't added as much as the first one. So, you know, they're not going to add just anything.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, just doing nails as well and doing music and having people come in that do music that even like when I did Kali Uchi's nails and things like that.
You did Kali Uchi's nails?
Yeah, I did.
Damn.
I haven't told you that little fact.
Did she come in here into this
room? No, I went to her at the W Hotel.
Wow, yes. Of course she was staying at the W Hotel. Yes. Fancy.
But people, you know, when things like that come up, people are like, did you show her your demos? It's like, no. And even if I did, she's not going to send
the
it to her manager.
The fuck she got
to
do with that?
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's not always like, you know, you got to have both play into it.
Yeah, and it has to be a natural progression. Exactly. You can't just be like flashing your EP, your mixtape at Kali Uchis at the W Hotel. Like that bitch don't care about. She's like,
she needs the nails done.
Security.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just like things just don't work you know, a lot of my clients are like, you should when they're getting their nails done, you should just show them your music and get them to send it to their manager. And I'm like, shit don't work like that, honey.
Well, I mean, you've got to build relationships.
100%.
That's what this is all about.
And
you build relationships and connections.
And I've like built relationships with clients before just naturally, organically. And if they wanted to send my music to their manager, they could easily do it in their own way if they wanted to.
Mm.
You know, like it's there if they want it. And they're not, so that's fine.
You know what I mean? Don't take it to heart, okay?
But it's like people forget that there's a lot more to it than just like, oh, you know somebody, surely they can get you in with their thing. It's like, no, not if it's not at the right, you know, my music's not where it needs to be, or it's just not the right fit, or it's just, there's so many other aspects. And it's like they have the tools to do it. If an artist came in here and got their nails done and I knew some industry person and they showed me this music and I'm like, holy fucking shit.
This is amazing.
And wanted to go send it to someone because I think that it's like insane. I would do it. I wouldn't need them to tell me to do it. If I wanted to, I'd do it.
100%.
And it's just the same with like, you know what I mean?
I think, that happens to me quite often, to be honest, because I work in radio and artists find that out. They think that they can send me their fucking mixtapes 24/7
and that's me hitting up B105.
Yeah. Like sliding in my DMs going, can you add my song to radio? I'm like, bitch, if I could add a song to radio, I would be adding my own first before I add yours. Like, I have no power. Yeah, I have no say. Totally. I don't get to choose the playlist. I don't choose what songs I play. I'm sorry. I mean, I could probably send it to the right people. And if I thought it was good enough, I would.
But that's the thing. Like, you're not going to even send that if it's not good enough because it's your reputation as well. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. And, you know, like, I think it's much better organically to, yeah, if I see an artist's song and they don't hit me up and I think it's really good, I would send it along anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to slide in my DMs at midnight on a Tuesday night and ask me, like, beg me to add your song to radio because, firstly, I have no power and, secondly, I'm sleeping, so yeah, leave me alone.
Yeah, totally. I actually low-key want to get my message up that I sent B105 when I released my first song. And it's so funny because whenever I talk about my first song, I always talk about Say It Like You Mean It, which is on Spotify, which I released in 2018. But I have a single that's not on Spotify. It's not anywhere because it's woeful. It's awful.
Mm.
I can see where I was going with it, but it's fucking trash.
It had potential.
It didn't, but it didn't even have that.
It had a bit of a bit of sparkle, did it not?
It really didn't. I can see where I was going with it, but if you heard it, it's something you probably would have written when you were 9.
Go on, get it up. I want to hear it.
I don't know if I have. Oh, I might have it on my laptop. I can show you later. Okay. I don't have it on my phone. But
give the people what they want.
Oh, you don't want it. Trust me. But anyway, I hit up B105 because someone said, like, you need to email radio. They were probably meaning, like, put it on Unearthed or something, or email Tommy Faith. And instead, I've gone to B105's Facebook DMs. And I've sent them a message. I'm going to get the message up so I can read it out. I'm honestly embarrassed.
Can I just say, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I need to send, as an artist, I need to send my shit to radio, that is not the way you go about it. You have to build connections. You have to, tell you what, the best advice I could give to somebody who wants to pitch their songs to radio, follow all your favorite radio announcers. Find out who programs the music, who are the music directors, follow them on Instagram, but do not slide into their DMs unsolicited, like at 2 a.m. at night. Like, just don't do that. You build relationships, you like their statuses, you make yourself known in a subtle way.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, 21-year-old Chloe did not know this. And 21-year-old Chloe slid in to the B105 messages, DMs. Let me get the message up. I've got it. Here we go. This, I'm actually going to cringe reading this out and it was so long ago, but it's still too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. And I was 21. I've done interviews on the podcast of people who are 19 and they're successful. And this is me at 21 sending B105 a message.
What time was it? Timestamp?
3:26 p.m.
All right. At least it was in the afternoon. You did well, babe.
Hey, hit 105. Please don't ignore my message. 2!
Passive aggressive.
So rude.
Starting off well.
My name is Chloe Minogue and I'm from Brisbane. I have recently released my debut single, Lovin'. I know you probably get messages like this all the time, but radio stations support music like no other. So I thought I would give it a shot at messaging you guys in the hopes you could give my track a listen and support local artists like myself.
Hold on. This is sounding like an X Factor sob story.
This is an X Factor sob story. I never thought I had a story good enough for X Factor, but here we are.
My goldfish died when I was 5 and that's why I'm auditioning for the X Factor.
Look, I'm trying to guilt trip them by saying support local artists.
Oh, this is bad.
And then I said, if there are any tips or any advice you could pass on to me in ways to get my track noticed, let me know. I'm down for anything.
Oh, she's down for anything. Okay, so now you're getting sexual with it.
Yeah, I am. And the song's called Lovin'. I've sent them the song and they've come back at 3:56 on the same day.
Okay. I mean, they replied promptly.
They did. I'm so stoked they actually replied. Hey, Chloe, thank you for sending this through. We'd never not want to reply or ignore you. Smiley face. We'll pass it on to our music director here to have a listen. We mainly play top 40 style hits, but are always looking for the next big hit. Appreciate you taking the time to send it through to us and all the best with the single. Fingers crossed it's a hit on our station in the not too distant future. I said, thank you so much for your response. I'll be working on it.
Oh.
You know what? God.
I really love your confidence.
Thank you. But it was a bit passive.
It was pretty rude.
It was rude.
You opened, please do not ignore my message. And they didn't. They were really lovely in return. And they even gave you a smiley face. Did you give them a smiley face?
I did when I said, I'll be working on it, smiley face.
Oh, so you smiled after they replied.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so, you know, look, I really hope that one day my song is big enough to make the B105 airways and I can send them a lovely message and some flowers and say, look,
you should be sending
I started them. Off all wrong, but we got there in the end. Also, saw your song was all over TikTok.
Oh.
What's happening with this?
Oh, my jingle compilation. Is well, that what you mean?
We've got the jingle compilation. We've got two of them. Mm. They've blown up.
Mm.
Then we had cherry lips all over the adverts on the top of the TikTok page.
It's been a good time for me.
You're blowing up on TikTok.
Tell you what's really funny though, because my song got added to that emerging artist playlist on TikTok and I was on the banner of TikTok, but I actually hadn't made a proper TikTok video. So then that kind of forced me to go, oh shit, I should probably use this platform because they're supporting me. So then I made those. So I did a compilation for anyone who's listening who is like, what are we talking about? I did a compilation of Australian jingles. So like your, hello, Frank Walker from National Tiles. And then I combined it with, lucky you're with Amy. And like all of those early noughties nostalgic jingles that you heard on the TV, I combined them into like this 1 minute, compilation thing, and people love it. I think it's on like almost 300,000 views now.
And Amy themselves have reached out.
They have. Amy has reached out, and I don't know how much I can say about it.
There's more to the story. There's more to the
story. So Amy actually wants me to be a part of their car safety campaign.
Oh my God.
So by the time this podcast is out, this will probably be out, but they want me to like revamp their song and sing my own verse to it and post it on all my channels and stuff. And
OMG.
They're going to like promote it. Yep. It's
That's
cool.
amazing.
And also I get the corporate cash from it. So they've paid me a little sweet little something, something so I can afford to put out my next single.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so funny how you find ways of like random things come about like that you don't even think. Next minute you're singing in a Amy jingle.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because...
And it's funding your next CD.
Yeah. It's very cool that the power of social media, the power of TikTok, this is the first TikTok video that I've ever actually tried to do something that, you know, went viral. It sounds like so lame to say that, but it's the first thing I've tried with and it's the first thing that Amy ends up seeing and goes, hey, we want you a part of your next campaign and we'll also pay you to do it. That's money that I just didn't think would happen, but I'm happy to accept any money from big corporations. If you're listening, I would Hi. Personally like to take your money. Thank you you're so
listening.
Much.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Chloe Minogue. Please don't ignore me.
At Hit105, at B105. Do not ignore me.
Oh, my God. What's your TikTok handle for people who are listening?
At It's Jeans Music.
And how do you spell your artist name Jeans for people who don't already
know? G-E-N-E-S.
There we go. People, check her out on TikTok. What did you do before radio?
I worked at JB Hi-Fi part-time. So I was in computer sales.
Oh.
So I sold people their little Dell laptops.
Cute.
I'm going to let everybody in on a little secret right now, but JB Hi-Fi, you actually get paid commission for the sales that you do. I realized that musical instrument sales wasn't going to make me a lot of commission and instead moved to computer sales. I made myself a lot of money working part-time so that I could focus on songwriting for other people. A couple that come to mind are Young Franco, Kilter I've worked with. I did a song for Will Sparks a couple of years back. My musical background is actually EDM, so I used to do heaps of top lining on DJ and producer songs. So, I started that when I was about 16 and, was putting my my voice on club bangers and Melbourne bounce tracks, and that's kind of how I got into music originally and started putting out music.
How did you even get into that, like EDM? Like, what was your first, like, intro into, like, that type of thing?
I grew up listening to all of that. Like, I would download club bangers on LimeWire and stuff like that. So I was always pretty into that kind of music growing up. And then I started making YouTube covers. I wrote this song that I posted up, and there was a DJ from America who found me on YouTube. His name's Dioro. Yeah, it's really crazy how it happened. So he found this like random original song I posted on YouTube, and he was like,
"Do you remember the song?"
Yeah, it was called, what was it called? I could find it. It was something like, I'm not, it was some sob story like, she's too good for me, or she's better than me, or some shit like that.
You don't remember any melodies from it. Surely sing a bit of a chorus.
She's Everything I'm Not is what it was called. But I think I was heavily inspired by the Veronicas. I'm Not.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
how does that one go again?
Because she's everything and everything I'm not. Now, wait a minute. What a good bridge.
Right.
Those girls are so good. Anyway, that's the thing he found. And, yeah, he messaged me on YouTube and was like, hey, I really like your original song. Can I make it into a dance song? And so he did. And then nothing ever happened with it. But I ended up singing on some of his other songs. And it's crazy to think, like, even though Chris Brown is a piece of shit, like, we ended up on the same album together.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, you and Chris Brown.
Yeah. So oh, I was featuring on a Dioro song, and Chris Brown was also featuring on a Dioro song on the same album. Isn't that crazy?
What year was this in?
I think we wrote the song. So, long story short, Dioro actually flew me to LA to write on his album. What? And the song that we wrote ended up on the same album as Chris Brown.
Were you like, I'm about to be famous?
Well, that's the crazy thing is I've lived so many lives, Chloe. Like, I was flown out to LA when I was 18 to work with this producer that I'd never met in my life. And my parents trusted that I would be okay as a fresh 18-year-old.
And how did you feel?
I was terrified, but also, like, so excited because, yeah, when you're an impressionable young 18-year-old in the music industry especially, you're so naive. You have no idea what's going on. And I just believed everything that people said to me. So I got to LA, I was working with Dioro, and then he was signed to Dimmuck at the time, which is a record label owned by Steve Aoki. I met with all of the label heads there, and it was crazy. I had like a guy who was looking after me the whole months I was there. And we went and looked at houses there because they said that...
What do you mean looking after you? Where did he come from?
So he was a part of the label, Dimmuck. And then is it Dimmac? Maybe it's Dimmac. I don't know. I might be saying it wrong. But, Steve Aoki's label, I thought that my life was going to change and I was going to sign a massive record deal because that's what they said to me. They said, we want to make you into the next big pop star. We want you to be a pop star but also a female DJ. And so, obviously, fresh 18-year-old, I just accepted that this was going to be what I did.
Yeah.
It felt so real because we were looking at houses. They were going to, like, let me live in... They were going to pay for me to live in LA for 2 years. I also met with Chris Brown's lawyer because we were going to go through the record the record deal and all the contracts and stuff, and I got them and I had them in my hand. And it was so crazy after that big long month being there and writing in sessions and stuff like that. I flew back and didn't hear from anyone ever again.
Why?
I don't know.
Email them and say hello?
Yeah. They were just really bad at communicating. So, yeah.
And what were you thinking when you got back? Were you like, did you ever think about going back over to be like, hello, I'm back? Like,
well, I mean, the first time they paid for everything for me. So I don't know, like I thought, well, maybe I did something wrong or maybe they didn't think I was good enough. And obviously when you're young like that, you take everything to heart. So
yeah.
I wasn't ready to feel like that just because, you know, they promised me the world. And I think that was a massive life lesson for me is that, you know, you can't believe everything you that people say until it actually happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't tell anyone aside from like my mom about what's going on in my life in terms of music and my career, because you know that, yeah, things fall apart last minute, and I never want to be embarrassed like that again, because, you know, they were telling me, we're going to move you to LA for 2 years, and so here I am on social media telling everyone, oh my God, I'm going to sign a record deal, and they're going to move me to LA, like I'm saying goodbye to my parents, like I'm going to live in America for 2 years.
Did you do a Facebook status?
Oh, I don't know if I did a Facebook status, but like I told my parents and then they told
everyone. Yeah.
So, and then I come back and they're like, oh, when are you moving to America? And, you know, they hadn't replied to me and they weren't responding to any messages or any phone calls. And
I wonder what, I think they
just
know.
I just think they're really bad at communicating, and like he hasn't put out new music in a really long time either. So I think he was going through a life crisis and it just was bad timing. But also obviously they weren't the right team for me because I need people who can communicate.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously it wasn't meant to be, but it was a really good life lesson for me that, you know, things fall apart last minute and you can't hold on to hope and put your career in other people's hands, because you need to be... I wasn't ready for that. Like, looking back, I was 18. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what kind of music I wanted to put out. I had no idea who I was as a person.
Yeah.
Let alone an artist. Like, I just think... if that actually happened to me, what if I did become a pop star? I was signed to that label. They made me into some like bizarre female DJ pop star. Like, that's not what I want. And I've met so many amazing people because that opportunity fell apart. And I think that's a really good example of things happen for a reason.
Totally. You did, you know, you've had that whole experience. And then what made you go from, like, you were saying you were doing a lot of top lines on EDM music. And then what made you go from that into being like, okay, I'm going to switch it up and here's Jeans and here's my pop music?
Well, I mean, it didn't really happen quickly like you just explained. But I guess, yeah, for me, I was doing EDM stuff. And then, you know, you're not taught in school. Nobody tells you that you can be a songwriter.
Yeah.
As a career. And still, I don't know, like, I don't think there's a lot of money in it, which is really sad because songwriters get ripped off the most compared to anyone else. But, I started songwriting for other people after that LA trip. And I realized that I preferred being behind the scenes instead of in front of the camera and the face of the music. So, yeah, I was songwriting for other people and I really enjoyed that. But then there was a point for me, after doing it for maybe 2 or 3 years, that I realized, you know, I actually do want to be, I do want to get the credit for the songs I'm writing, because I feel that songwriters don't get enough of it.
Yep.
And so that's when the pivotal moment came for me where I started the Jeans Project, which was, only 2 years ago I've been doing this thing. I really like being an artist, but far out it's expensive. And I respect every artist out there who does it even full time, like...
Yeah.
I can't fathom the thought of being an artist full time unless I had a deal of some sort.
Yeah. Who do you want to collaborate with? And it doesn't, I mean, obviously we've said Amy. It doesn't necessarily have to be other artists or musicians, or it could be anything. I want to know.
I never know what to say with this question because there's so many incredible people that I would love to work with, but I really like this Swedish artist named Dagny.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yes.
Actually, funny story, my manager Nick interviewed Dagny and played her super single. And I have a full video of her reacting to it. And it's...
Oh, my gosh.
It's the most amazing thing ever because she, like, really likes it. And she's, like, full hyping me up. It's the best.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, Dagny has her Jeans and I would love to collaborate with her at some point. These nails look sick.
Yeah, are you liking?
Yeah, I really do.
What advice? I mean, you've already given a lot of advice on this podcast.
I have, actually.
You have.
Quite educational.
It is. But what I always like to ask, what advice would you give, like, an up-and-coming artist who's maybe thinking about releasing their first single or something? What do you have to say?
I think if you're thinking about putting out your first ever single, you just need to do it. Stop overthinking the process, because I did that for so many years. And that's what stopped me from putting out music sooner, is I just kept thinking it had to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I also couldn't really figure out what I wanted to release. And I think the best advice I was ever given is you just have to do it, because you figure shit out on the way.
Totally. Agreed.
You're never going to develop or grow unless you just do the first thing, because then that's a base to launch from. And it's okay to progress and grow with people watching. You don't have to keep everything hidden until you feel like it's the right time to release, because there's never really a right time. It's okay to chop and change as you go. And yeah, the best thing you could do as an artist is, yeah, just do it. Stop overthinking it. Just go for it.
I love that. Thanks for coming on the podcast and in the salon. So excited to see, you know, what you have coming up next and the singles you have dropping, and when our one comes out that we co-wrote together. So excited for that. Your EP and all the fun stuff. And hopefully you'll be moving to Brisbane soon and I get to do your nails all the time.
That would be awesome.
That's it.
Peace out. Eat down.
Bedtime. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Can We Be Friends? Since recording this episode, Jeans has released her debut EP, Super Single, which features the track we wrote together called Kind of Bi. You can stream it now on all platforms. I'll be posting a picture of the nails we did over on the podcast Instagram at canwebefriends.podcast, as well as on my nail Instagram at co.nailsbrisbane. If you would like to hear some music from this guest I just interviewed, you can check out the Friends of the Podcast playlist on Spotify. And if you would like to follow Jeans on Instagram, you can find her at It's Jeans Music. I also wanted to give a shout out to my friend Tom for creating the theme song for this podcast. You can check him out on his Instagram at TomYou'reStupid. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Walter. Stay safe and I'll chat to you soon. Bye-bye.